Hey, AfterBuzzers, you're watching the AfterBuzz TV after show for Once Upon a Time, Season 5, Episode 15, The Brothers Jones. Join us as we give our thoughts on the episode and our predictions. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everyone. Happy Easter. And thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Tiana Hobson. Joining me tonight, I've got the lovely Marissa Serafini.
Hello, everyone.
And a guest panelist tonight, we've got Brianna Phipps.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
That was so weird for me to say your full name together. I've known Bri for almost a year now, and I've never said her full name together.
My last name doesn't exist to her.
No, she's just Bri. That's it. So, overall thoughts on the episode. I know how Marissa felt.
Well, let's start with you, T.
Okay, so I liked parts of it, and I didn't like parts of it. And the parts I liked were the stuff with Hook a little bit. You know, seeing the flashback of him and his brother is what I liked about the episode. Everything else I could have done without.
Interesting. Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I liked how, because we saw, you know, past episode of young Killian and young Liam together, and we can't really fully, you know, base a relationship, a brotherhood off of that such small time when they were young. So it was nice to see a full fleshed out episode when them as older and how they got to that position and, like, actually how close they were, and if Killian had another guy in his life to help him stay on the same path of the straight and narrow. I liked the relationship that they developed in this episode.
I agree. Bri?
I didn't mind this episode. It wasn't like my favorite episode ever, but I didn't mind it. I mean, Killian's back with them, which is always a plus. There was that major kiss scene, which I was happy about.
Oh my gosh, I love. I love Hooker for Life! Okay, sorry.
So, we'll get to that.
So I didn't hate it. Like I said, it wasn't mind-boggling. I wasn't extremely excited. There was a couple moments I really liked, but yeah, I didn't think it was a terrible episode.
Okay. I'll let you have that opinion. I'll let you have that opinion.
You're entitled to your opinion.
And before I forget, today is our co-host Blake's birthday, Blake MacGyver. He couldn't be here tonight, so everyone tweet him at Blake MacGyver and say happy birthday and send him lots of love, and he wished he could have been here, but, you know, it's his birthday. We're going to give him the night off.
Happy birthday, Blake.
Happy birthday, Blake. So I want to start off by talking about these flashbacks that we see, because I love when we get flashbacks to kind of fill in a character's backstory, and Hook has been one of those characters that we've been asking for a lot, or maybe it's just me because, you know, I'm so Hooker for Life. But we see, you know, him and his brother working on the ship that they've been sold to, and they want to get their freedom, and they go off, and his brother goes and gets their paper, and they join the Navy, and they get, like, 10 silver coins, I think it was, and it's like, that with the money that we saved, we can buy our freedom! Yay! And then Killian...
Wah, wah. Being the drunkard pilot that he is.
I mean...
Not pilot. Pirate.
Pirate. There you go. I mean, they're kind of... They are the pilots of the sea. So, you know,
true.
You were onto something there, Marissa.
Very true. That's what I meant to say.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Keith.
I got your back, girl. So, this whole scenario happening, the one thing that was running through my mind is we see the guy who they're working for, whose name I didn't write down because I didn't think he was going to be important.
Silver.
Was it
Captain Silver? Yeah, it was Captain Silver.
See?
Hence the silver.
It makes sense.
See, Tiana's a little slow sometimes, so that's why I keep these girls around to keep me on point.
We got your back.
Yeah, you got my back, I got yours. So Captain Silver is not a nice person, and he kind of teases them. He's like, yeah, you guys can have your freedom, but only the sober Jones can go get it. So when he comes back and, you know, they have the coins and they have the money, but then Hook has spent his and Liam decides to stay on the boat, all I kept thinking was, thank God this wasn't in 2016, because the government would come after your butt for their money back. Like, they gave you an upfront payment and you're tossing the contracts over the water and just collecting their money.
Boop, boop.
So that's what I thought. What did you guys think in that scene?
I mean... First of all, they were a fool, but I do have to appreciate Liam's solidarity and brotherhood towards Killian as much of a mess he is. and Skorupa he is at that point in Killian's life. I like the fact that Liam was still like a positive influence and be like, no, if I can't go, or if my brother can't go, then I'm going to stay with him because he means more than anything else right now. I'm like, ooh, you just kind of literally ripped away your freedom right now.
Yeah.
I was kind of along those same lines, except for I was still very upset with Liam for him talking to Emma in the way he did right before that scene happened. And so I was kind of just like, I don't want to like you, and I don't want you to be a nice guy because you were a dick.
So. That's very true. And we saw, I mean, they didn't show a lot of the other brothers in this episode, James and David, but it's so great to see brothers like Killian and Liam, who are so close, and Liam will do anything to protect his little brother. And then on the other end of it, you have James and David, who are enemies but have never even met each other. So it's kind of the juxtaposition of the two brotherhoods going on and how different they are.
It's so funny to think because, you know, I'm like trying to recollect all these episodes with James and David, not to like go off right there, but like, have they ever actually really crossed paths?
No.
And like, we would never really think that because we always see them.
Mm-hmm.
But
like,
wow.
The audience sees them.
Like, you trick yourself because like I really, before this episode, I was really like, no, they totally have met. There was that before his brother died, I was like, no, they didn't.
No.
Like, they kind of trick you like into like thinking that they've known each other at some point in their life.
Yeah.
They know of each other, but they just don't know each other.
Yeah, and everyone around them has like kind of interacted, like, not everyone, but like most of the people they know have interacted with both of them at one point or another.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. ABC is probably just, you know, trying to save their money up for that episode so that we can see them in the same scene together.
It's called motion control, guys.
Yeah, they're gonna have to do
hashtag
that.
Filmmaking.
Yes, Marissa knows the tricks. They should just ask Lindsay Lohan how she did Parent Trap, you know?
It's called motion control. Go watch the Parent Trap commentary. There you go.
Oh, okay. See?
Another Disney fan.
Another
Disney film.
So they're still on this boat, and Captain Silver has them going straight into a storm, like straight into the eye of the hurricane, and they're after this sapphire that's called the Eye of the Storm.
The Eye of the Storm, yeah.
I'm going to turn to Marissa to see if she had picked up on any sort of clues on the name of this gem and...
Not so much the gem, but more the, not to jump ahead, but of the Jolly Roger, the rum. I like the fact that I was like, okay, of course you're going to have to throw a sapphire stone in there. And then it just maybe where my creative mind went to was like, I'm going to say Harry Potter. And I'm like, any you know, fantasy show or TV or story that has any stone in it. I was like, I like that because that gave it such a higher risk and value for like what their situation was. Like there's a bigger payoff in the end.
Now I just want Harry Potter to show up, even though, and I know Disney doesn't own the rights.
No.
I mean, maybe one
day. Sorry guys, we're not going to get them.
Yeah, we're not going to get them. But once they figure out what's happening and that they're being led there, Liam kind of starts a mutiny that lasted all of 2 seconds.
I know.
I wrote that down too. That was the quickest mutiny ever.
I was like, wow.
That was the easiest mutiny ever.
I was like, how has no one ever taken over this ship before?
Nicholas Kelly in the live chat, thank you everyone who's joining the live chat, said that looks like the crystal, but from a bigger form of Atlantis. And the fact that it was blue.
Blue.
Maybe Atlantis is the next world we're going to. And hopefully Atlantis looks better than this underbrook that
well,
they're calling it.
Actually, Atlantis is just going to be storybook underwater.
Shoot.
Every world is just storybook.
You're right. Darn it.
We're going to go to Emerald City and they will have changed it from what we saw before. And now it is actually just a green storybook.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the new thing they're going to
do. And the heart of Atlantis is actually what? Like the library or something?
To save money.
Who knows?
To save money. We ain't got time to build sets and stuff.
Shoot.
So this mutiny lasts all of 3 seconds. All Liam had to do was steal a sword. That was so easy.
Boom.
From the Captain Silver. And then they're like, yes, we're going to get out of this. And he's like, okay, I'm going to go down and look at the maps and find the best way out. While he's down there, he gets a visit from old Hades.
Yay.
He's like, hey, dude, so you're kind of cramping my style because I was really banking on all you guys dying so that you could join me in the underworld. So let's make a deal. I'm Wayne Brady now. Let's make a deal.
Where's your creative costume?
I mean, this is all as Eastery as I can get.
She's being Wayne Brady when he comes on the Kinky Tour.
Yes, I am
Kinky
Wayne Brady
store.
On Kicking Boots.
Yes.
So his deal to Liam is, I will save you and your brother. You'll get the actual Eye of the Storm jewel, and you can use this to go and, you know, get your own boat one day, but all you have to do is let all these other people die.
All you have to do.
All you That's have to it. Do is let, like, 20 people die.
All you have to do is become a terrible person.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Liam, being the noble person that he is... And the good brother, because what he's thinking right now is of him and his brother and them staying together. So I understand where his heart is. And he makes the deal with the devil. And
Literally.
And, I mean, it ends up working out for them for a while. But, you know, this is also a great secret that Hook never knew about that kind of set up Hook's whole life of being, like, trying to achieve that greatness and the bar being set so high that he can never really achieve it.
I get it. And this is where I love hate Liam, because I love how noble he is and just the lengths he will go to protect his brother. But how terrible those lengths are, the fact that, hey, I'm going to have these 20 people just for you, that doesn't seem right. And the end in that way didn't really justify the means in which he was doing it. But I appreciate that he cared enough to go to that length.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
No, it's bad.
Like, if the stakes were a little different, it's like, yeah. Oh yeah, you did a great thing to save your brother. But on the flip side, it's like, ooh, but you let innocent people die. I mean, you could let Captain Silver go. You know, then, he was a jerk.
And I get what he was probably thinking.
And he deserved it.
You know, he's probably thinking, you know, I could either save me and my brother for sure, or I could do this and everyone could die. I don't know. Who knows what happens
and
if
it's
I don't.
Like, you know, save 2 lives, lose 20, or lose 22 lives.
Mm-hmm. Give or take.
Yeah, give or take. You know, I didn't count how many people were there. Only about 5 got to go cross over, so that's a whole other story.
Yeah, I know.
It was a small boat.
Yeah. But, you know, this works out in their favor. They get washed up on shore, and we see that Liam's all noble, and he's like, we have this gem, and the new captain's like, ooh, I'll take you straight to the king. There's a big reward. And Liam's like, oh, I don't want money. What? Who doesn't want money?
A noble man.
I mean,
that will let 20 men die.
Yeah, I just want a commission for a ship.
He said, I want honor. I'm like, is it still honorable that you let 20 men die?
Yeah. Or can't you have honor but also collect them the money? Because you risked your life and it was a reward that was offered. Like, someone was willing to give it to you. You weren't forcefully taking it from them.
But again, I was like, I get it in reality terms that we'd find, like, who, what crazy person would do that. But also, it kind of does show that Liam still, at the end, still thinks in good ways and he has strong values that... He doesn't care about the money. He cares about honor and how people see him.
And that's probably the first step that he was making towards redemption for what he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was trying to.
That's what I viewed it as. I viewed it as he was, like, so upset with himself for doing that he had to, like, start building himself back up to what he was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, whatever's leaving Liam. But, you know, as Marissa said, we get introduced to the jewel of the realm, the Jolly Roger.
Jolly Roger.
And so. The story for the flashbacks ends there, but, I mean, not to go too far into predictions, but, like, I want to know more now that we know this about Hook, because the other flash forwards we've seen, you know, between him getting to Neverland and stuff, like, all that stuff that happens, and...
He already has the Jolly Rogers.
Yeah, he already has the Jolly Rogers. Now I'm like, well, what happened? I want to fill in the blanks.
Well, now we know how he got to the Jolly Roger.
Now I need to know, like, everything that happened between that time and, like, Neverland. Because I just need to know everything about Hook. That's me.
Understandable.
Yeah, understandable. So then we have, over in the underworld, we have the search for this storybook that everyone and their mom is looking for. We start off with Henry and Cruella. Like, Henry, why would you get in a car with Cruella De Vil? She's the worst driver ever.
I know.
I don't even care if you're keeping a secret from your mom if Cruella De Vil is like,
Henry,
hey, get in my car.
Because Henry doesn't make great decisions all the time, okay?
I mean,
but if they died down there, would it really affect him?
I feel like if they
died
there...
Would they move on?
Would you move on, or would your parents know that you're dead?
She can't die because she's already dead, so...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was like,
I don't know,
would
about
they
him.
Be affected if anything, like, physically happened?
Well, he's technically still alive, so I don't know about him. Like, I don't know if something happens to him down there if he's dead then.
Yeah,
be that like as it may, Cruella is a terrible driver.
Yeah, she's a terrible driver, so you just shouldn't be in the car with her, whether you're dead or alive. But Henry sees the Flash in the woods and they're looking for the magic quill. And he runs into the apprentice.
Yay.
Who, you know, I just keep, every week when they bring back a character like this, I'm surprised to see them there. I'm like, oh, wait, but you died. I got to remember that everyone is down here. So it's an open-ended book of who they can bring back into our lives for, like, a brief moment in time.
So and it's also kind of sad. We're like, wow, a lot of people died on this show.
Yeah, you kind of forget the tally count.
Yeah, yeah. For, like, a family show, there's a lot of death going on.
A lot of death in this story. But the apprentice warns Henry that he shouldn't bring Cruella back and that he's got this decision to make and, you know, he can do the right thing or the not so right thing. But Henry has to make the decision on his own and that Henry is his unfinished business. So to add on to the pressure of Henry's decision, if you make the right choice, I get to move on. If you don't, then I'm still stuck here.
So I'm going
to
tell you exactly where the key is.
But don't worry, I trust you.
Yeah, don't worry, I trust you, and I'm not going to tell you what to do. But my life depends on it, so do what
make
I want.
Make the right choice.
Which is kind of like, did he know that Henry was going to end up down in the underworld at some point to get this quill? Because how does your unfinished business him and this choice, unless you knew he was going to end up there at one point?
You know?
Yeah.
That's a very good question.
I have another question about the book. But okay. We'll get there.
Okay. So Henry, you know, he claims that he wants the pin for himself so that he can be a hero because he's sick of sitting on the sideline, which I understand, but that seems to be the theme of Henry's life every season.
Yeah.
Every season, Henry's like, I'm sick of sitting on the sidelines. I want to be a hero like you guys.
And then he became the author, and he was like, yeah, I'm the author.
And then he broke the quill, and then...
Wasn't that kind of being a hero, though?
Yeah,
like,
that was
a heroic moment. But
you're also, like 14.
I get it, but I think after all these seasons and episodes with Henry, he does need... He's old enough to actually speak his mind, and they, you know, like, Ed the Charming should trust him, be like, yeah, you know what, let's let him play in this game. You know, like, he's been benched this whole time, you know, just throw the rook in.
Yeah, but
not
they're
that
also
he's really a rook, but...
moms. So they're not going to want to put him in any danger.
I get that, but I think Henry has seen so much and been through so much that I still find it hard to believe that the Charmings would ever, like, let him do something. I get you're trying to protect him, but just let him do something.
Yeah.
If he wants to actually put effort and help them, let him.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's why he's being an emo teen right now. You know,
I love that line.
That was the best.
That was the best line because I was like, that's exactly what he's being. But it's also because when teens feel that way, it's a lot of times because they feel like they're not being heard by the adults around them. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Henry keeps saying this to the adults and they keep brushing it off. And that's clearly why he will go and get in cars with Cruella DeVille.
Well, I mean, part of it might be the fact that he doesn't seem to have any friends besides his family.
What happened to his little girlfriend?
She's done.
Like, Paige?
Yeah.
She's in Men Close the Heart.
Is she really?
Yeah, she is.
So that's where she went.
So, you know, she
Which took, also films in Vancouver, guys.
Took off on her horse, you know, went away for a bit.
Went away and, like, we barely saw
She's
her when he was
student.
In Storybrooke and everyone was up there before he came down here, so... Whatever.
He had his chance.
Yeah. So I have to talk about my favorite moment was when Hook is sitting on the couch and he's all beaten up and Emma's there and he's like, don't look at me. Hades has done a number on my face. And I was like, no, he hasn't. You're still gorgeous. And Emma's like, nothing I can't help with. And like waves her magic hand there and makes them all beautiful again. And I was like, oh my gosh. The feels are the feels of everything.
Yeah. And then I was like, how did he get his hook back? That was my
Where he's like, how did he get his hook back?
And
I was like,
and
oh.
Tiana's too busy.
And I know, Tiana, I don't want to burst a bubble in your amazing moment that you just had. But, okay, for all you who are watching Once Upon a Time, I'm sure you guys are also big fans of Charmed. And there was characters named Whitelighters who would heal by waving their hand over a wound, and suddenly they're all back... And normal. And that was such a white lighter moment of Emma healing Hook. Yeah, it was cool visually, but I'm like, dude, I've seen this.
What channel was Charmed on?
Charmed was on CW.
Oh, CW. I was like,
no,
it was on
actually,
AC. It makes sense.
Charmed was on WB before CW.
Yeah, and then WB and but UPN not ABC, merged. So.
But
and
all you Charmed fans, let me know. White lighters.
Let them know.
White lighters.
So, moving on.
So, back to
I had a So, then they get a knock on the door, and it's Liam, and he's like, oh, the rumors are true. You are here. Oh, my gosh. It's so great to see you, brother. And I'm just sitting there like, I don't trust you. What do you mean the rumors are true that you're here and blah, blah, blah? Like, how'd you know where to find me? Where are you coming from? Like, I've been here for 6 days trapped in a dungeon. Why weren't you trying to holla then?
He had a bar to run, okay, Tiana?
I mean, he had one patron in the bar.
You know what? It's...
It was dead in there, as Hades would say.
Wow.
But anyways, they do a plan, you know, they're like, we need to defeat Hades to free everyone because there's something that, you know, is going on that's super weird about here. And everyone decides, hey, we need to find that book. Remember that book from season 1 that we all had that told the stories? Yeah, we should find that down here.
Because it has all the answers.
Because there's probably another one down here.
Yeah.
We know this because...
It took you 4 seasons to figure out the first book.
And okay, because now that we're talking about the book, and I have to make another Charm reference. Hello, Book of Shadows. But so we saw in the whole season 1 of Henry reading the book, that was like his bread and butter. He never let that thing go. You would make the, not, I don't want to say assumption, but you would want to believe that he read that whole book front and back, cover to cover, multiple times. You would think he would cover Hades at some point.
Yeah, because it's still just a storybook about all the stories of the fairy tale world. Yeah,
and it's just amazing that, like, every time they meet someone new, they're like, oh, I totally did not read about this person in the book.
This is true. The only counter I can think of to that is that perhaps because even Hades said to Liam in the flashbacks that his magic works differently in the overworld, I think is what he,
that's what he referred
to it as. He said his magic works differently there. So maybe the book, in a way, works differently where, like, it doesn't show him in the overworld because he's an underworld person, but I don't really know.
Did no one watch Hercules? I mean, come on.
I watched it multiple times.
No, not you. I mean, in the town. They don't have that. They don't have
availability. I've still been watching it, you guys.
So, yeah, that's a little weird there. But, you know, they want to find this book, and then in walks Henry, and he's like, oh, my gosh, guys. I'm looking for the book, too. I just heard from the apprentice that the apprentice or the sorcerer's castle is here, so we have to go there. But James has the key. And this was probably, like, a really the funniest moment of the show when David is pretending to be James in the sheriff's station.
Oh, my God, that was my favorite part of the episode.
Ew. Awkward.
It was so awkward to watch.
So awkward.
I just wrote, Corella is kinky. That's what I wrote.
I just put, ew.
So Corella is, first of all, the fact that her and James are sleeping together in the first
place.
She's feisty. Is just kind of weird. And
well, I was just thinking it was weird in general that James is the sheriff of the underworld while his brother is sheriff of Storybrooke. Like, did you...
They're so similar.
But they're not. Yet
they're so
They just
different.
Look exactly like because
but they're
the same
But they're so similar,
actor.
They just need to find that thing that's going to bring them together and be great friends and find healing for both of them.
Do you think they'd ever be friends, though? Because they're so different.
Nothing's impossible on Once Upon a Time.
I don't know if they'll be friends, but they'll make them... I think they'll just
If Regina
amends.
And Snow can become friends, then David and James can...
If Parent Trap can be friends... then so can they.
Exactly. So I think that they've got some issues, as Cruella pointed out. You know, she's like, hey, I knew you weren't James the whole time. You don't have that sort of, like, anger and angst and edge that he's got. But then, you know, we get that little snip of David when he's like, what do you mean he was jealous of me? Because, you know, each one is like, the grass is greener on the other side. They mm-hmm. each thought that the other one was more special because they were chosen for different fates and whatnot. So I really think that if those two just got in a room with, like, a therapist and sat down and really, like, hashed it out, that they would come out being the perfect twins who are the best of friends.
Archie needs to come back.
I just had the most disturbing image when that scene was going on, because it was right after she pulled the handcuffs out. So I'm just imagining, like, them having, like, the most wild sex ever, and then afterwards him just, like, crying on her chest, telling her every, like, thing that, my life was terrible, I grew up in a castle, my daddy didn't want me, my mom didn't, like...
It's like, shut up, James. I still have you handcuffed to the bed. That would be a weird. I was kind of wondering, like,
they went far in this episode.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering though. I was like, it seems like you guys just you use him for, you know, hanky panky. Mm-hmm. So when are you getting deep in thoughts with James here? If you're showing up in the middle of the day for a little afternoon,
that's what I'm
delight,
saying. It's like sex must bring that out in him.
Yeah, maybe he is an emotional lover.
I think it was a good establishment, the fact that how different James is from his brother David.
Yeah. Well, hey,
he's completely different.
You know, David's made a couple babies, so maybe he, him and Snow be getting down too. He just ain't public about it, you know? You feel me? Like, he just keeps his stuff on the DL. He's a freak too, is what I'm saying.
I got what you're saying. We all knew what you were saying.
Just keep saying it.
Marissa just gave me like the weirdest, like, blank stare. Like,
I think she just wanted to see how far you were going to keep going.
So, like, just keep going.
You know what? Thanks, Marissa. I thought we had each other's backs.
No, that was all you.
Thanks. So anyways, moving on from that part of the episode, they get the key and they go to the house, and before they go there, Hades makes another visit to Liam in his super divey bar and is like, look, I want the pages destroyed or from that book that are about me because I don't want anyone to know about it. Just get rid of them or I'll tell your brother what really happened. And when people give you ultimatums like that, I really want people to think, like, is this really, like, you're trying to defeat one of the most evil persons in the universe who is holding all these innocent people, preventing them from moving on or going to a worse place. Like, he's holding them captive, basically, there. And you're so worried about your brother finding out that you were not as noble as you actually are. Like,
yeah.
To be a noble person would to be, like, to confess of your sins to your brother to take the leverage out of Hades' hands.
To not make his life worse by not being able to defeat Hades.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that, but also you gotta remember when they made the deal, they were in Liam's turf, and they were above, and so, like, Liam kind of had the upper hand just in that sake, and now that the underworld, that Hades, whatever his Hades says, like, yeah, you better listen to him because this is his turf. And if he says something, then he means it, and you have to take him seriously.
Yeah, that's true. I just want people, when people...
He's all powerful, Donnie.
You know, when... Because I feel this happens a lot. People are, like, Cruella coming to Henry and being like, help me, help your mothers. And it's like, just go tell... Say yes, but then go tell your mom. It's like, hey, this is what this crazy lady who kills dogs just said to me. And then your moms will help you in a way that, you know, makes everyone happy, and then you don't have to live with secrets. Like, I just want people to be honest with each other. For once,
you want
on
everyone
television.
To have a little powwow.
I
sesh.
Mean, then it wouldn't be exciting
communication,
television.
You guys, it's communication.
Communication is the key. So they get into the house and they make Henry stay and be the watch person.
The lookout.
To which he says that, like, snappy little line of, like, not for long.
Yeah.
Last time you'll make me do this.
And then he just walks off and he's like, Quill, Quill, come out wherever you are.
Pretty much.
He's
like, show yourself.
Yeah. And everyone else goes their separate ways. Of course, Liam is the first one to find the book. He
Convenient.
Goes in, rips out the pages, and didn't even try to, like, cover his tracks that he was taking
the
out
best
the
thing
pages.
For me was that he said the pages that must have fallen out. Like, oh, they ripped themselves out and fell?
Yeah, they fell out. They grew some legs and walked out the front door.
Yeah.
I'm like, because it wasn't like they were a neat little rip that... They
it was
were
all
torn.
Over the place. It was all over the place. Like,
I'm like, why are you guys believing this?
Yeah, it was the worst crime ever. Emma, you know, isn't believing him because of the conversation they had earlier, which started off as Emma being like, oh, is this, like, big brother trying to protect his little brother, make sure I'm good enough? Mm. He's like, no, you're not good enough for my brother. You should let him go. I wrote down what he said, and I can't find it in my notes right now, but it really was like, basically, Emma,
cold.
You were selfish when he died. He could have died a hero.
Mm-hmm.
But you selfishly want him back, so now you're coming here, and you're the one who pushed him off the ledge into the darkness in the first place. And
which
I was just like, dang.
Which it's ironic that he's saying all that, because he was selfish in his secret and keeping him alive, and, like, you could argue that by him keeping him alive, he turned into Captain Hook.
Yeah.
So
it was a little pot and kettle going on here, and
yes,
we know
it was.
Emma has her gut feelings about people, and...
That's what I put in my notes. I was like, Emma, you have this magical ability to be a lie detector. You can't tell that he's lying right now. And then, like, fortunately, she actually had a fairly distinct instinct there.
Yeah, and I was happy that she actually called him out and, you know, called him out and told Hook about it because, you know, I just was talking about how communication, you know, you got to talk these things through. Of course, Hook didn't want to hear it and was like, no, my brother is great. He died a hero and a noble person, which, have we seen Liam's death yet?
Yeah,
we did.
Okay. It was on Peter Pan's, wasn't it?
Yeah. Okay, I remember that now. And so, you know, just all this stuff. And then they go split off again. And it's like, why do we keep going with no teams? And Emma finds Liam right after he's dropped the pages in the well. And it's like, I know you're lying. What are you hiding? And Hook's there. And he's like, she's like, look at his hands. He's hiding his hands. And Hook's like, I don't believe you, Emma. How could you say this? And, you know, I'm not worth being saved. And I'm going to stay here when you go back home. And I was like, Hook, don't say things you don't mean.
It's like, yeah, sweetie, they all came down here. People have been hurt and all this stuff, but it's all going to be for nothing.
Yeah.
You're just going to stay.
Okay. I have one thing about the well, because when he dropped those pages in the well and that went straight to Hades, it's like, okay, if you're going to look for Hades, just throw yourself into the well and you'll eventually get to him. That's like a portal in and of itself.
I just kept thinking, like, you have all this magic. You saw him at the well. You couldn't think, like, huh, the pages are probably down there, and use your magic and fly them back up.
Fly them up. Nope, it was too late. They were gone. But then, you know, it doesn't take long for Liam to get called out, because right after Emma leaves, after giving Hook her little pep talk, like, look, the decision is yours and you have to choose to forgive yourself for what you did, which is very true. You know, everyone else is ready to forgive him. If you think of the things that Regina, when she was the evil queen, did, and the fact that she's found redemption, I don't understand why Hook isn't seeing that he can find it too. But then we have the sailors, Captain Silver, circling them like, hey, I was at the bar today, and you know what I found out? This MFA just sold us out and let us die, made a deal with Hades, and that's why you guys are alive and we're dead.
Yeah.
So they kidnap him and take him down to the fire pit of hell.
Where they go to. Deeper hell, I guess.
Yeah, where the decisions are really made.
The second ring.
Yeah.
In Dante's Inferno.
Yeah. Where the decisions are really made here. This is, you know, you're either going up or you're going down.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to walk the plank. But, you know.
Literally, I kind of like that metaphor. I'm like, I see what you're doing once.
Like, yeah, I like it. But Hades intervenes again and is like, hey, look, one of you Jones brothers did what I asked and you get to live. The other one escaped my dungeon and now you have to die.
Well, but you're forgetting, though, that he, like, after he blew.
Oh, yeah, after he blew Captain Silver out of the way.
That was hysterical. That was so quick and funny. You're like, oh, well, we don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think Captain Silver was ever going to go to the upper place.
No.
I just don't think he had a spot there.
No way was he redeemable.
Yeah. I want to see someone, like, get to that point where they make their amends or whatever, and then the stairway lead down instead of up. I just want to see that once.
It's like, hey, you know what? You made your choice. Here's a stairway. You don't have to fall into the fire. You can just walk into it. Like, go out gracefully.
A slower and painful death.
Yes. But Hades then tries, he's like, well, you know, Hook has to die. And Liam's like, no, you can't do that. And he's like, okay, fine. And blows his
brother over
his brother over Hook. And Hook grabs him with his one good arm. And, you know, he's holding him. All I could think was, oh, Hook, you just need your other hand so you can help him up. But
no,
like,
he should have just, like, hooked his jacket.
Yeah, like, no, I mean, I agree. Okay, did anyone think, like, either A, Lion King,
in a weird, twisted way,
or B, Lord of the Rings?
Yes.
It doesn't even have to be Lion King in a weird, twisted way. It's just Lion King during the scene of Scar where all the fire's
there. Yeah, well, it's, like, the similarity is that there's two brothers and one's over the cliff.
And it's,
you know,
a little judge out looking exactly like.
And then I thought Lord of the Rings because, oh, hey, there's a fire pit literally right underneath you, so.
Yeah, it's very similar to both of those. But, you know, Liam finally decides to actually do the noble thing, be like, this is the only way for me to make amends is to pay the price. And he lets go of Hook's arm and he falls down, and then it's like,
oh, a little mermaid comes up.
Well, they're in the ocean. Like, it comes up and there's a boat waiting, and it's the ocean and the sea, and it's like, heaven's doors are right there. So yeah, it's the little mermaid. It's the mermaids bringing the pirates, you know, luring them into the sea.
Yes. The most cartoonish looking ocean ever.
Yes, it was very...
I was just trying to, like, figure out how they shot that, because obviously that was CG, but it moved so gracefully. I was like, he has to be on a hoverboard or something.
Well, I think the boat was maybe... They could have done, like, a robotic thing, sort of like how It's a Small World works,
like,
in a way.
Yeah, small was, dolly.
See, yeah, small then, dolly, like, move, and then, you know, the CGI'd water comes in later.
I would just say, like, hoverboard himself, and then, like, you key over it.
They should have just at least made it a little janky, like, when they're pulling it, make it a little bit of, like, a water movement, because this was just, like...
Because it's like Heaven's Angel, so everything's just still, and you're able to move more gracefully. Like, I bet you they could have walked on that water, like, straight up Jesus status. They could have, like, just walked off
into the sunset.
It
took me out of the moment, because it was too ridiculous to watch the boat just go, I'm like, I was like, oh, well, they're being really sweet right now, but I don't really care.
He's transcended into a higher power, and now he's more graceful.
Dare say he's a true hero.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, Liam gets his happy ending, and so do the remaining sailors who are there with him. Hook is like, look, guys, now that you know the truth about why you died, you're redeemed now and you can go off too. And Hook tells Liam that he has to stay there because his unfinished business is done when he and Emma defeat Hades. So they're doing this together, guys. Like, they're so in love together. And it's so amazing, and they're so happy. And then he tells Emma that, you know, that his brother is gone. He stayed, and Emma's like, so does this mean that you're going to come home with us? And he's like, hell yeah, baby. I'm coming home with you. We going to make some babies.
I think I want to watch your version of Once Upon a Time.
Not exactly like that, but...
No one else heard that line come out of his mouth.
But to the point where he's like, no, we do have a future together. Because that was the whole thing, because Emma was afraid that they weren't going to have a future together, and the reason why she made Hook dark again. And then he's like, yeah, we do have a future together. But you're like, ah, it was all for nothing. So there you go. It wasn't all for nothing.
It wasn't all for nothing. But we still have this teenage Henry to deal with. And everyone's back
teenager.
Home.
Just let him be an emo.
He's not an emo. He's just a teenager. He's moody.
He's just moody. And, you know, Grandpa goes upstairs to, you know, have a little chat with him, try and be like, you know, maybe he just doesn't want to talk to his moms. Maybe he'll talk to Grandpa.
Your favorite grandpa.
Yeah, your favorite grandpa.
He's slowly, slowly becoming the same age as you.
Yeah, you guys are going to catch up to each other pretty soon. And he tries to open up with, get Henry to open up, and he's like, you know, I had a really bad day too. Found out my brother's resented me his whole life. And, you know, the thing that you have to remember, Henry, is that you have a family that loves you and that will always be here to talk to if you need them. And this is when Henry's like, okay, fine, I'll talk. Wait, don't go. I have to show you something. And he opens up to the whole family. He's like, look, I wanted to be a hero like you guys. I'm sick of being on the sidelines. I found the quill. It's here. And I want to use the quill to write the stories as they are, which is what the apprentice told him that he's supposed to do. And he's like, and I'm going to start with Hades. And I was like, what does that mean? Because we don't know where his story is
started.
And how it goes or how it starts.
He's got to do research. He's going to have to, like, maybe walk around and talk to people.
He's got
to
go back to that library and do some research.
Yeah, is he going to go live in, like, the sorcerer's castle and, like, find stuff from there to go off of? Like, are all the books there?
Well, and that's the thing, because when they were in Storybrook, in the regular Storybrook, and they went to the mansion, and then Henry found all those books and whatnot, he found, you know, the all those books. If he goes back to that house, and he just goes back to that study with all the books, he could write more stories.
This is true.
Cool. So, or maybe there's books down there that have more answers, not just the Once Upon a Time book.
Like, maybe Hades is in another book because he's been around for so long that his story...
He's in the Greek mythology book.
Go to G and find it. G for Greek mythology.
It's in the history section.
Yeah. So then the episode ends with, you know, sort of a big reveal. And there's mixed reviews on how we feel about this big reveal. But Hades has the pages, and everyone's like, what's in his story that he doesn't want us to know about? Dun, dun, dun! Oh. And then we see the pages, and he's like, Selena, my sweet, don't worry, our secret is still safe. And you're like, what?
I wasn't like that. I was like, oh, barf.
Oh, I was like, what?
Yeah, no, all of us was like, barf.
I was like, damn, she's coming back.
Well, I mean, we knew she was coming back because she is a series regular.
Yeah, but so I thought maybe not until they went back upstairs. But I mean,
I
had more time.
Yeah, this kind of, you know, let's just get into predictions from here because, like, that was the end of the episode. And Selena's coming back next week. If you are listening to us on iTunes right now, I highly suggest going on to YouTube to check out the video of Marissa's face and how absolutely disgusted she looks by Zelina coming back.
Okay. You want serious now. How much I cannot stand Zelina. It's like, she just got whisked away like 3 episodes ago in a big tornado. That was good enough. Why does she have to come back so soon? And what the heck could she possibly be doing with Hades? What is their history? They're so I can't even formulate words right now. They're just so bad individually. I actually kind of like Hades, though, because he's actually kind of cool. But Zelina, to lower himself to Zelina's standards.
The thing that intrigues me is in the previews, you see that Hades is very intrigued by her, and he's like, I've never met someone so dark. And like, for him to be impressed with your darkness and, you know, your whole aura just seems like, wow, you must really be dark for Hades to think you're cool and like on his level in some way. Like, part of what they were previewing made it seem like Hades looked up to her in a way and was so infatuated with her and her darkness that it was like, oh, an inspiration for him.
Okay, because when we saw Zelina get whisked away on that beautiful tornado, she wasn't really dead. She's technically alive. So, and I think all the previews that we saw are probably flashbacks of Hades and Zelina together. But Zelina's not dead, you guys, unfortunately so.
They also showed her, though, without being green, so I think she'll be in the next episode also normal as well. Like, they'll contact her somehow from the underworld.
Yeah, she's technically not dead yet. And how is that possible? I don't know.
Yeah, she's just been, you know, sent away on a permanent vacation away from her
daughter. Well, it's not permanent if she came back.
Well, I don't think she's back per se. I think that they're linking into the story of how her, because it also reminds me of her backstory with Rumpel. You know, she had a whole history with Rumpel that we didn't know about and
being trained
by him and everything. So it makes sense that she would also have gone to Hades to try and, like, she's very evil and very much jealous of her sister. So going to Hades in a way of maybe trying to take out Regina. Like, we don't know the full story there, but I think it's an interesting twist to bring her back again. Even though I am sick of her continuously popping up. Someone throw some water on her and make her go away for good.
I have one prediction, and I'm going to go away from this because I probably won't be here for the rest of the season, so this is all I want to say. My prediction for the rest of the season is that I'm just waiting to see Sheriff Graham come back. That's all I want. I want him to be there in the underworld. That's all I want.
And she said that while we were watching. I did. Ooh, Sheriff Graham should be down there. He's definitely got some unfinished business.
And she needs to find him, and then Killian and him have to fight over her.
But he's really busy making 50 Shades of Grey Part 2.
Well, he needs to take a slight break.
I mean,
for 1 week.
Those handcuffs that are in the sheriff's desk definitely are with him in 50 Shades too.
He's the one character that has not made his way back ever.
This is true.
Some people are not liking the fact that I don't like Zelina.
I don't
so, like him. I'll let you guys know, Bex Mater, she's awesome in real life. Like, I love following her on Twitter. She's such a cool person. And obviously, she's so likable in real life that they keep bringing her back on the show. But her character is so dislikable. How? Why?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can like an actor or actress and not like her character they're playing.
No, exactly. And I think she's great as an actress, and I think it's such a character that we love to hate, and I certainly love to hate her. But, I mean, it's Zelina.
She always stirs the pot.
Mm-hmm. And she always throws, like, a wrench in there, and you think that, you know, Hades would be enough of a villain to have for right now, but clearly Zelina is outstepping him in some way, and I can't wait to see kind of how they interact together. And I like the prediction about Sheriff Graham. Yes. Make sure you guys let us know what your predictions are and where can the good people find you folks to talk about Once Upon a Time. And Bree, thank you so much for joining us tonight. You were lovely as always.
Thank you guys for having me.
Anytime. Seriously.
So you guys can find me at bfips14 on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can follow me not liking Zelina at Serafini TV.
And make sure you check out all the shows we do here every week, free of charge for you, the people. We love you guys. Check out all our shows at AfterBuzz TV, all over social media. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the Tiana Hobson. Happy birthday to Blake one last time, and we will see y'all next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.